Welcome to No Longer Conformed. We're studying the book of 2 Corinthians, God's Messengers. In this session, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, to chapter 6, verse 2. Motivation of God's Messengers. Motivation for ministry is the issue addressed in this session's text. The apostle wrote about what it is that pushes him on. Let's begin to look at that in the beginning of our passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1 down to verse 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up in life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. After that opening statement, Paul gives four motivations of God's messengers. Motivations that propel us forward to serve God and to reach people for Christ. First, there's a desire to please God. Look at verse 6, down to verse 9. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. What is Paul saying here? Not that we earn God's acceptance by serving Him. That is granted by the finished work of Jesus Christ. But that we desire to please the Lord because we have been accepted. Our aim, our ambition, pleasing to Him, to be pleasing. Paul is saying that the driving ambition of his life is to be pleasing to his Heavenly Father, doing that which brings God glory. What about you? What about me? Because God saved me, I want to please Him. Second, the need to prepare for judgment. Verse 10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We will one day be judged by Jesus Christ. Three judgments in Scripture. The church, shortly before the rapture. Other believers at Christ's return. And then all unbelievers after the millennium. Personally, I hold to and teach a pre-tribulation, with regard to rapture, pre-millennial, when speaking of Christ's return. I teach that view of end times theology, pre-tribulation rapture, pre-millennial return of Christ. That's my end times theology and eschatology. I believe it is responsible for teachers of the Word of God to make clear their perspective. While there's much debate on the rapture and the millennium, most agree on this passage. The Christian's judgment is not for salvation. This is not an issue if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You will answer for how you have lived this life for Jesus. Your gifts, your talents, your witness for Him. It's important to learn a few things about this judgment of believers. The judgment seat of Christ, it's certain. It says, we must, you will. It's universal, all, every Christian. It's transparent, appear, made known. We can hide, pretend, and deceive now. But on the day we will stand before the one who can see our hearts and read our motives on that day. It is rewarding. Receive. Rewards or none. I'm motivated to serve God and seek to reach the lost by the need to be prepared to stand before Him in judgment one day. How about you? And third, there's a call to persuade the lost. Verses 11 down to verse 17. Therefore, or knowing therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Look ahead to verse 20 for a moment. Ambassadors for Christ, God, pleading through us. Ambassador, a humble position. A great position. Humble because you speak on another's behalf. His ideas, not your own. Great because you speak with His authority. Jesus Christ's own authority. Consider just a few of the ideas that are presented in these verses. Verse 11, I'm pushed into ministry to persuade the lost. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. I'm pushed into ministry by Christ's own love. Verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. I am pushed into ministry because of new life. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My motivation in ministry is the knowledge that God wants me to persuade the lost to receive new life in Him. And then fourth, there is the opportunity to proclaim the gospel. Chapter 5, verse 18, over into chapter 6, verse 2. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. There in verse 1 of chapter 6. This is an interesting and important idea to consider. Don't end up with an empty hand. Don't work for what results in nothing of value. The picture here is of one who boasts of his faith as a treasured possession, but without any fruit of that faith. What is Paul saying? I don't want you to talk a good game and really have nothing in your possession. Today is the day of salvation. Now. We are Christ's own ambassadors. We've been given the work of reconciliation. We are pleading with you to be saved. Verse 21. Yeah, are you saved? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Because you see, all of us come the same way. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. And why? Why did God give us this gift? Because He loved us. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And how did God demonstrate that love? In giving Jesus Christ? Romans 5:8. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need to confess our conviction that He died for us, that He rose from the dead and can give us victory over death. Romans 10:9-10. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made, and with the heart, we believe unto righteousness, and then we simply need to reach out and ask God to forgive us and give us eternal life. Romans 10:13. Whoever believes, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm motivated by opportunities to share the gospel. Where are you today? Are you standing by watching others struggle with eternity? Watching others do the labor alone? What will motivate you into ministry? Will the desire to please the Lord do it? Will the need to prepare for judgment? Will the call to persuade the lost? Will it be the opportunity to share the gospel? You give some thought to those things and you have a great day.